Last Sunday, we heard the story of the calling of Samuel and learned that God often chooses the most unlikely people to serve as representatives, as prophets or priests or leaders of the people. God sees us differently than the world sees or our community of faith sees or the church sees. God sees into us, into who we really are, even better than we can see and know ourselves. And God chooses us based on different criteria than we would use. And that choice, that call, is one that we cannot lightly turn down. It will never leave us. It forever pursues us. God is persistent. God persistently calls us and enables us. If only we will respond with yes. If only we'll say, "Here I am, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening." Today, we hear about Jonah, who was called to preach a message of repentance to the people of the city of Nineveh. Only rather than responding to God's call positively, he tried to run away from God. He tried to escape from God. And as a result, we get the biggest fish story of all time. He ended up being the one who got away from the fish in a strange reversal. I'm sure Peter, having been a fisherman, probably appreciated the magnitude of that particular story from the Hebrew Scriptures. God pursued Jonah and wouldn't let him get away. We too will try to run from God's calling. There's a phone down here. Did y'all know that? Should I answer it? All right. Let's see. It's an old style phone. I think I will answer it. Hello? Yeah? Yes? They're here. There's a whole bunch of them. A lot more online. Okay. It's God calling. I often wonder what this phone was doing up here. That's what it's for. Thank you, God. Bye-bye. Wow. If only were that easy to get God's call. If it were only that easy to just pick up the phone and answer. Today, we let those kind of calls, we don't know where they're coming from. We let them go to the voicemail. Do we let God's call go to voicemail? Or do we pick it up like that old, loud, clanging sound phone that just drives you crazy? You just got to answer it. I remember Mother would always answer the phone, and she didn't know who was calling. And I'd say, "Mom, why are you answering that phone? You don't know. It's probably a marketer or a salesperson or a scammer." And she says, "Well, they're calling." And I said, "Mom, it's your phone. You can decide to answer it or not." We often resist answering God's call. God's calling is persistent. It often comes at the least anticipated times, to the least anticipated people, to do the least anticipated things. Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to do as God directed. He tried to run away, got swallowed by a fish, got barfed up on the shore, and after that, Jonah went to Nineveh, and he did what God told him to do. He preached throughout the city. He preached as God directed him. He told them, "Repent, for in 40 days, the city will be destroyed." And surprise, surprise, the people from the top to the bottom, from the leaders to the people in the streets, the people repented. They put on sackcloth and ashes and repented of their sin. You'd think Jonah'd be happy. He got a good response. But no. Jonah was not happy. Jonah was quite angry that God did not destroy them as God said God would. This was very displeasing to Jonah. In chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to continue the story. But this was very displeasing to Jonah. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. I ran away because I knew you'd like him too much. And you're a pushover and you're a softy. And you'd forgive him." Wow. "For I knew you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Kind of drama, isn't he? A lot of drama here. Jonah the drama. Okay. And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah doesn't reply to that. Instead, he goes out of the city and sits down east of the city and makes a booth for himself there. And he sat under the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. He wanted to see a show. He wanted to see fire and brimstone. He expected the people to not repent. And he wanted to see them get zapped. The people repented. The people heard. They heeded the warning. And they repented. And God, in response, changes God's mind and decides God isn't going to destroy the city because they repented. How dare God do that? Jonah went through all that trouble, had to wipe off all that fish guts, finally went to the city, did what he was supposed to do, and the people turned from their sin. It gets better. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from the discomfort. So Jonah was happy about the bush. Oh, okay, nice. I get to sit here and wait for the city to get destroyed. I got a bush to cover me, so I'm not going to get too hot. But then the dawn came up the next day. God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind. And the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It's far better for me to die than to live." Again, too much drama, Jonah. But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." He's not going to win an Oscar, friends. Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, as well as many animals? Shouldn't I be concerned for the people of this city? And when they repent, shouldn't I be merciful?" And that, my friends, is the end of the story. There is no rest of the story in Jonah. We leave him sitting there, the drama queen that he is, seething that God didn't zap Nineveh. Mad at, after having gone through that fish story, after having tried to run away from God, after having gone to the trouble of preaching the message of repentance, the people do the most inconvenient thing. They actually repent, and God forgives. The point of this story is, we can't run. We can't hide. we're called to respond. And the calling doesn't always come the way we expect. I'm sure Jonah didn't expect the call. And when he ran, I'm sure he didn't expect the fish. But God reached out to him anyway and persisted with him anyway. My calling to ministry came through a roundabout course, a long journey. It began with a fascination in the study of the New Testament in college. I took courses in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and in Paul, and in the Peter, and James, and the Johannine letters, and the book of Revelation even. I was fascinated by the scriptures and the teachings within scriptures, and then how the scriptures came to be, how they were formed, how the books were collected. And that led to a fascination with the Hebrew scriptures, their formation, their structure, their teachings. The study of the scriptures became very important to me when I was in college. And I wanted to continue my study later on in graduate school. And I had an opportunity towards the end of my undergraduate school to preach one Sunday. It was a laity Sunday, and a friend of mine who was serving as a local pastor in a church just outside of Dallas invited me to come out and to give a message. And I preached for the first time, my knees knocking, my hands shaking, afraid, but I preached. And I don't have a recording of it. I have a few notes from it. I look back on those notes and I cringe. Did I really actually say that? But 40 years ago, when I was just starting out in my faith, and just 38 years ago when I gave that first message, my friends, was unsure about that calling. But the more that I did in my studies, and the more opportunities I had to serve and to teach in churches, and then to preach as a part-time local pastor under appointment when I was in seminary, it became more and more clear to me that this was my calling, that God was calling me to preach and to teach, not just in the ivory towers of the academic world, but also in the ivory towers of the church. To do theology from the pulpit. To lead congregations, to participate in the life and faith of my siblings and my sisters and brothers and friends in Christ. The calling came to me over a long period of time, and I kept hearing it persistently to make clear and to make known the manifold grace of God for all. Last week, I invited us to consider God's call, to consider how God is calling us, to consider how God is calling you. God calls. We often don't want to pick up the phone. We get upset because, you know, God's will is different from ours. We don't really comprehend it. God's will is perfect. Ours is rather lousy, misplaced, lacking in grace, lacking in mercy, often lacking in love. But God calls. God calls and God enables. What is God calling us to do as a community of faith? What is God calling you to do as a person of faith? Rather than running away, rather than trying to hide, rather than saying no, rather than refusing to pick up the phone, we are called to respond with yes, to answer God's call, to follow God's call, and to not be surprised when God's will is done. It may not happen how we expect, in the way we expect, the way we want, with the kind of glory that we'd like. But when we answer God's call, the lives of others are touched and changed and made better. And our lives are touched and changed and made better. A year ago today, I had no idea where I would be today. I had no idea where God was going to be calling me and where I would be preaching today. But a year ago, God called, God knew, God enabled, God opened a path, every door opened, and God led me here. God called me here. God is calling you. God is leading you. God is directing you. God is opening doors for you to serve in so many ways, in ways we cannot even imagine right now, today. But a year from now, we'll look back and we'll see and we'll know how God is calling us all. What is God calling you to do? How is God calling you to live? What is the journey God has for you? I understand Jonah's hesitancy. It's a big job. They're probably not going to respond. I'd rather not do it. Those are easy answers, friends. I'd rather not answer that call. That's the easy response. But God's call cannot be ignored, and it cannot be run from, and it cannot be denied. And even though there may not be a big show to enjoy at the end, we're still called to respond, to act and to do, to fish for people, to share God's love with all, to be open to the amazing, unexpected, forever dynamic, gracious and merciful, wonderful will of God. What is God calling you to do? How is God calling you to serve? No one is too young. Samuel was a kid. No one is too old. No one is too poor. No one is too unimportant. No one is too bad, too far from outside of the expected norms of society, too unconventional. No one is beyond God's call. I wasn't. You're not. How is God calling you? God is calling. Can you hear the spiritual phone ringing? God is calling. In your prayer time, answer. Let me dwell.